TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Warning. The Outsider's Edge contains strong opinions, unconventional views, and contrarian stances. Listen, if you dare.
Hey, yo.
Ain't nobody really the gorilla. Ain't nobody really the gorilla. I said, ain't nobody really the gorilla. Ain't nobody really the gorilla. Gorilla tactics. Whoa.
As we are brought in by the fire tones of the Tongans, with whom we give our deference to, straight from the quarantine zone, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of The Outsider's Edge, the zombie edition. No, I'm playing. The quarantine edition, the COVID quarantine edition. Straight from my house, which I haven't been able to leave for a week. It's your boy, Rance, a.k.a. Ray Cash. And talking with my brother, Kyle, over here. How you doing, man?
I mean, you said a quarantine zone. Isn't the entire planet the fucking quarantine zone right now?
Look, I'm not worried about the damn planet right now. I'm worried about me, okay?
Like, no, this yeah. Rona out here, y'all.
Bro, I'm like, I need Kevin Hart's uncle to hear about this and go kill Rona. Because it's a little ridiculous. Like, the news has been... So, this is a wrestling podcast, obviously, but there's nothing going on in the world that's more pertinent than the damn coronavirus, COVID-19. You know about it. The only person in the world who did know about it was Jared Leto, who did a Jared Leto-esque thing and went Jared Leto in the damn desert for 12 days like Jared Leto would do, being Jared Leto. Nonetheless... This is crazy, bro.
Jared Leto's dumbass.
This is crazy, man. This is... Everybody got it.
Oh, yeah. This is some Walking Dead shit. Like, the reveal is going to be we're all infected.
There was a movie Mark Wahlberg did, I think it was called The Departed? One of them where...
Is this the shitty M. Night Shyamalan movie where the plants were killing everyone?
But think about it. And I'm not conspiracy theory, and I'm not Kyrie Irving people out here, but it's hilarious that water's cleaner, the plants are growing again, the animals have gone back to their natural habitats, because our dumbasses are sitting in here because the flu done got so bad we can't even find out who got it or not.
I mean, you know, here's the
irony.
No, but here's the thing, though. We are a wrestling podcast, and if we really want to keep it 100 and get it to the wrestling world, like, the thing people aren't talking about enough is how devastating this shit's fixing to be to independent wrestling. Like, yeah. There's been a lot of talk lately about how coronavirus is destroying the economy, because in a lot of ways it is crippling the economy all over the world. And the service industry is currently being hit hardest in the most immediate way, because yes. Restaurants are closing, people can't travel, so hotels are losing revenue,
bars.
Events are being shut down, bars are being closed. Like, the service industry is being hit real hard in the short term, but like, the entertainment industry is also, and wrestling falls within that entertainment industry. And the thing people aren't really realizing, you know, WWE gonna survive. They got $1 billion TV deals. AEW gonna survive. They got a big deal with TNT for millions and millions of dollars.
And
they
a billion-dollar owner. Multi-billion-dollar owner.
Yeah, they gonna survive. They still gonna be here. Ring of Honor gonna survive because Sinclair runs them at a loss anyway, so they don't give a flying fuck. And New Japan will survive because
multi-billion-dollar company.
Billion-dollar toy company.
Well, a multi-billion yen company, but yes.
But yeah, a billion-dollar toy company. So those four companies will survive. They will endure. They will still be here. Impact will probably make it because they're, you know...
Cockroaches.
They're fucking cockroaches, and they're run by a million-dollar company.
They'll probably... Yeah, but they could be run by... They could have a stick of glue and some chewing gum, and they'll still survive because they are the Rick Grimes. Yes, they're the Rick Grimes of the world.
But like, for real though, a lot of these smaller indie companies aren't going to be able to make it long term if they've got to cancel dates for months at a time. A company like PWG or like House of Hardcore or like
Progress
or
ICW, all
ICW,
these. Yeah, and these aren't small companies. They're just mid level.
These are the mid level, people have heard of them companies, but they are house show touring companies.
Yes.
And if the tour isn't running and the gates aren't running, nobody's making money.
So the interesting thing about this is people will always complain so much about how WWE can pay their performers more. And of course, they can definitely be paid more. However, WWE and AEW now are the only companies that pay downsides.
Yep.
So all these wrestlers who aren't wrestling are still getting paid. Whereas you have, and from a specific standpoint, WrestleMania being not canceled but transferred, but WrestleMania weekend being canceled, all the wrestling companies that come in and make their most money and the wrestlers that come in and make their most money, that's gone. GCW, they don't have no shows. They have one show, but I mean, they are the outlaws of all the wrestling companies.
Effie's Big Gay Wrestling Brunch.
Done. Well,
not happening.
Faye Jackson's Great Pants Battle Royal show, gone. That's GCW. All the WrestleCon shows are done. All the Evolve shows are done. And Evolve got a pipeline of WWE. But like, you're absolutely right. And you're spot on. I don't think we're talking about this enough.
Because here's the bigger problem, y'all. Here's the bigger problem. Number one, not only is this an issue for the wrestlers because if they're not booking dates, they're not making money. But number two, this is an issue with the companies themselves because, like, these companies often live event to event, year to year. They're depending on these really big shows to be the difference between turning a profit for that year and potentially running a loss for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't run and they go out of business, who's there to book these other lower talents?
Well, let's use an actual example. There was a company that was based out of Austin, Texas, named Wrestle Circus.
Mm-hmm.
And for about a year, they were one of the biggest, most popular wrestling companies in the country. In fact, Sammy Guevara got most popular wrestling in Wrestle Circus. Sammy Guevara, as you know now in AEW, that's the first time I saw him, and he's from my city. I saw him in Wrestle Circus. So many people made such a big, such huge, names in Wrestle Circus.
That's where Hansen from War Machine got started, isn't it?
No, that was before. Hanson's been wrestling for a while. It's just we didn't know him until recently, but he's been wrestling for a long time. Wrestle Circus just really started 2 years ago. It was only, like, it literally started and was alive for 1 year. But, like, people like Leva Bates, you know? A lot of the indie people who are really popular, they came through Wrestle Circus and really, it was huge. Wrestle Circus, nobody knew, but they were running month to month, show to show. And they didn't, one show happened and they didn't get what they needed and it disappeared for like 6 months. They tried to bring it back again and they were killing. They weren't like having a 50 people in their buildings. They were selling out their buildings the day of, the same day the tickets went out. They don't exist anymore. And it's not because of mismanagement. It's not because there was no interest. It's not because they didn't have wrestlers who wanted to wrestle or that wouldn't afford
it. That's how razor thin the profit margin is to run a smaller wrestling company.
Absolutely.
And the fact of the matter is that this disease outbreak canceling so many events is going to cause a lot of these companies to shut their doors. And we all lose.
Unfortunately, that's a terrifying thing to think about. And so many, specifically, let's talk about the European scene for a second. So many fans are upset about saying WWE is homogenizing the European scene. Well, everybody that WWE is in business with, they're helping, right? In some way, form, or fashion, those wrestlers are being helped. Those companies, I'm sure, are being helped.
Right. Evolve will survive.
Yeah. Progress will survive.
Progress will survive the apocalypse, yeah. Because WWE will prop them up when needed.
And in the same breath, RevPro will survive. They're in a pipeline.
Yep.
But yeah, this is a real, it's worth a real conversation and real fear. So please, guys, go to Pro Wrestling Tees, buy merch of your favorite wrestlers. If they're putting out any
the time, y'all, like, yes, buy the merch. If there's a company, if there's a show that you really enjoyed that you streamed illegally, go back and actually pay for that shit. Like, yes. I'm not even joking. If it was a show that you just really loved and you did it illegally the first time, if there was a time to go back and give them your $40, it's now. Go back and pay for that shit. Keep these companies alive, y'all, because if you don't, they might not survive COVID-19.
And if you're one of those people who think that, oh, well, it doesn't matter, the wrestlers will be fine anyway. Remember, Becky Lynch retired 8 years ago. So anything is possible.
Facts. Like, it's always, there's always a chance. First of all, there's always a chance that small company is going to give your next favorite star their first break.
They all came from somewhere.
But second of all, you know, if you really love wrestling, why not make sure that the wrestlers have as many ways to make a living as possible?
100%.
And if you don't believe us that this shit is, like, seriously impacting people, ask homies over at WrestleCon. Ask our homies over at WrestleCon. Tell them about that shit, Brother Rance.
So, WrestleCon, for those of you who don't know, WrestleCon is a convention and kind of like a makeshift promotion at this point. That is the largest non-WWE show and convention that is going around. And every WrestleMania,
that even WWE's legends a lot of times have shit there.
Absolutely. Well, most of their main legends are from WWE. Absolutely. Hall of Famers. People who are going in the Hall of Fame the same weekend will do a signing at WrestleCon. And so every WrestleMania, they have the convention, which is all week. And then they have a major WrestleCon Super Show Saturday night. And so all these companies, when they make these deals for, you know, reserving an arena or reserving a space or anything of that nature, they all get some sort of travel insurance because anything could happen. What we're dealing with is not a flood or is not a hurricane or earthquake. What we're dealing with is truly what the law would designate an act of God, because this is absolutely 100% completely out of nowhere. So unfortunately, even though that's the case, the Marriott was holding WrestleCon to have to pay the $114,000 bill.
Because according to them, the venue could still hold the event and the event could still happen in spite of current CDC guidelines that are limiting gatherings to, what is it now, 10 people?
It was 100, went down to 50, now it's 10. Yes. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. And it took all the wrestlers just going off on
including the Marriott. WWE ones that were like platinum members and the AEW ones that were like platinum members of the hotel to be like, y'all go fix this or I'm gonna take my ass to the Hilton.
Chris Jericho being probably the most popular of the group.
Kevin Owens. Yeah. Yeah.
It's disgusting and ridiculous, but luckily there is a clause that's called force majeure, which means that people aren't because of a situation that is out of everybody's control. They don't have to be held to that. And seeing as this isn't just a CDC recommendation, but the government is like cities and state governments. Yeah, they're shutting it down. Yes. They couldn't do anything about it. So they got their money back. But you're right. If can you imagine how much that would have not only hurt WrestleCon in general, but all the fans who paid their money to go to WrestleCon or to get a hotel suite there? That's
the thing is ridiculous amount of money. WrestleCon specifically, the thing is, it threatened to bankrupt him because he had vowed, and he's a man of his word, he had vowed that he was still going to pay all of the vendors, all of the performers, everybody that had been booked, like everyone who bought a ticket, he was going to give refunds. Like, he had vowed, I'm going to make all this right. Like, it is what it is. I'm sorry, we can't still do a show. And they were going to hold him on the hook for, I think it was like 150 grand was what they were saying he owed them for canceling the event.
Stupid money, bro. Stupid money. Luckily, people came to their senses. Marriott came to their senses and saved a lot of their business, because they would have lost a lot of business being that petty. But that's just a small kind of precursor into like the issue at large. The one thing we haven't talked about, though, is how it affects the big companies, WWE and AEW in particular.
Well, and it's worth talking about, because one pressure that they have that other companies don't necessarily have is not only are they televised, but they're televised live.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ring of Honor, we know, will tape a month and a half worth of shows at a given event.
TNA Impact
will tape 4 or 5 weeks of television in a weekend. So, like, they're not bound and hurt in the short term as much by the current situation. And even within that, won't be hurt as much by the situation, because they can still tape 3, 4, 5 weeks worth of shit in a weekend and put it out there. AEW and WWE both have the unique challenge of being weekly episodic live television on major cable, and in WWE's case, also network broadcasting.
Yep. And that breeds with a lot, that breeds with it a lot of complications, not just the time slot and filling the time with content, but getting the talent there, making sure the talent is safe, staying within the guidelines of the governments, and most importantly, actually finding a venue.
And well, and not just the talent, making sure that everyone else associated with the
production. Yeah, talent, staff, crew,
well, yeah. Yeah, one thing that I know we like to stress here on The Edge is it's more than just the wrestlers in the ring involved in putting on that production. There's the production crew, there's cameraman, the camera people, they're the
makeup people,
the staff, they're the makeup people, the costumers, the the producers and the agents. Like, there are so many people involved in putting on an event.
Yep. And I think both companies are very, in WWE's case, they're very smart with the forethought. In AEW's case, they've turned out to be really lucky in that both companies have readily available places, venues, that they can hold their shows at. WWE owns the Performance Center, which has been such a massive blessing for them in multiple ways, but especially now being able to have their own place to have shows, even if they are empty arena.
Yes.
And AEW, they do not own Daily's Place, but it's in Jacksonville. The Khans have a great relationship with the owners of Daily's Place. And Daily's Place is, in my opinion, the best-looking venue that they run. It's the amphitheater, so it looks great. It looks phenomenal. So they really worked and lucked out really well, both companies, in having these situations and having these places to do stuff if they so choose. And both companies have so chosen. AEW had their first live broadcast since the quarantine last night.
right?
WWE show. Yeah, it was a huge show for them. They did great numbers, too. WWE did SmackDown Live, Raw Live, and then NXT was more of a sit-down interview show. But they're pressing on. But I want to, there's a couple of things, and this is going to be a bit of a long segment, so bear with me. But I want to kind of point out and talk about for a second the differences in the company's leaders and the companies being that their leaders are speaking for them, the company's de facto response to the situation.
And before you bring that up, one thing I want to point out that matters, and it really matters a lot more than people are thinking or give it credit for. Even though the Khans are billionaires and they are public figures, AEW is not a publicly traded company. It is a privately owned enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
WWE is a publicly traded company mm-hmm. with shareholders. Mm-hmm. That they are responsible for reporting to.
And a board of directors.
Those two distinctions are very, very important. Do the Khans care about publicity? Yes. Do the Khans care about image? Yes. Do the Khans ultimately want to put a strong financial product out there? Yes. But at the end of the day, the Khans only report to
the Khans.
And as long as whatever the Bucks and Cody want to do, as long as the Khans are on board with it, that's all that fucking matters. WWE don't have that luxury. If the board of directors says, no, fuck this shit, we're changing it, they have no choice.
So I'm going to play for you the introduction Triple H made on SmackDown, which was the first show they did since the quarantine started, and after that I'm going to play for you Cody Rhodes introduction to AEW last night. So this is Triple H.
Welcome to Friday Night SmackDown on Fox. I'm the game Triple H, and I would like to personally welcome you to the WWE Performance Center. This 30,000 square foot amazing state-of-the-art facility with its seven rings and its world-class strength and conditioning and medical is designed to bring you the WWE superstars of the future. This is the athletic hub of the WWE. On any given day, there are 100 athletes from all over the world training here, putting their heart and soul into everything they do, with the ultimate goal being the privilege of performing for you. Everybody from Sasha Banks, Bayley, Asuka, Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt, Baron Corbin, they have all walked through these doors. And tonight, they will return to the Performance Center. Not to train, but to do what they have been trained to do better than anyone else on this planet, and that is entertain you. Now, this show will be different from anything you have ever seen before. So sit back, relax, and if you can, forget about the world around you and let WWE do what we do. Let us put a smile on your face. Welcome to Friday Night SmackDown on Fox.
That's Triple H. Now, we're going to play Cody Rhodes. It's much longer. It's twice as long. So bear with me.
I have never thought of my world as small before. But recent events can really put into perspective how small we all are. It has also clarified for me how big and how important the service we provide is. And the irony in what I'm about to ask is not lost on me, because I'm about to ask three of the best athletes in the world to discard their petty differences to put aside those squabbles and to stand together. The irony, it being March 18th, 2020, and us as human beings need to stand together. And for many of us, that will mean standing at a distance. We have to be informed, and we have to be held responsible by health and science, but there is a profound difference in that versus living in a prison of fear. And I refuse to live in fear, because that's not living at all. And I don't know about you watching at home. I feel alive, and I hope you feel alive. Matt Jackson, I know that you are listening. Save Tony Khan, you are probably second most responsible for AEW even existing. I think you're a tag team specialist, an absolute tag team master. But that doesn't mean anything is owed to you. If anything, that means you have to work harder. And your anger last week towards Hangman Adam Page was misplaced. I don't need that anger, and you don't want that anger. Instead, I need your older brother wisdom. And I need you to carry Nick Jackson's giant heart into this match so that we can win at Blood and Guts. And speaking of Hangman Adam Page, I get tired of putting over Hangman Adam Page. I have said in a cornucopia of interviews how I think Hangman Adam Page is the best wrestler in all of the Elite. He has a scary combination of light heavyweight skill and accuracy melded with heavyweight stopping power like the Buckshot Lariat. I thought he was going to be the first AEW World Champion. He is not. He lost to Chris Jericho. So did I. I need you to get over it, Hangman. You don't want to be the other guy in the Elite? Then don't be. Be the difference maker. Be the reason that we win at Blood and Guts. And then there is my most unique relationship in all of wrestling, unique friendship, that being Kenny Omega. We don't always like each other. And that's okay. We can argue about who we think is 1A and 1B until we are blue in the face and likely somebody passes us by. I respect the fact that we both don't want to be bridesmaids. Great. This isn't a wedding. It's blood and it's guts. It's grits. It's violence. It takes years off of the career, and I need you. But I need the real Kenny Omega. I need the one who stood in front of 499 others and declared himself best in the world. I need the best bout machine, Kenny Omega. In short, I need the Elite to be elite.
So, I'm going to give you all the opportunity to retort, but let me just set a few scenes for you and for you guys listening at home. And this is strictly, I promise you, this isn't coming from any place of bias. This isn't coming from any place of preference. This is coming just strictly off of knowing what we're going through as a country and what these companies are supposed to do for us in this time of need, entertain us. One company chose to show the importance of their company, the future of their company, and just putting a smile on your face and taking away all of the worries of the day. The other company told you to essentially ignore the worries of the day and live in the moment and promoted a match. It's all yours.
I mean, so like I was going to just say the difference between the two promos was that the purpose of Triple H's was to talk about why the arena was empty, and the purpose of Cody's was to promote that terribly fucking named match. Oh my God. But anyway, first of all, Cody, you say you feel alive, but that like hideous fucking scar on your neck tells me that you should feel maybe a little bit less alive.
Come on, man.
Maybe.
Come on, man.
You feel less alive.
Come on, man.
Randy hates it too, man. I have every right to shit on that nasty ass thing. That thing is awful. That's terrible. Just fucking terrible. But anyway, no, my bigger takeaway wasn't even what they were about. My bigger takeaway was just that Cody's so fucking long-winded. Everything has to be so epic with him. I'm just like, calm the fuck down.
I gotta say, though, if you don't tell me what they're talking about, and I just hear blah, 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 but I hear it in the way they say it, Cody is the most engaging talker in the business. It's just, I don't give a fuck about half the stuff he says.
Yeah. But maybe that's because, now, bear with me here. Bear with me. Maybe it's because, Rance, they're forcing the Elite back together into this match that it doesn't make any sense otherwise for the Elite to be united in right now. Because absolutely nothing about any of the storylines that they have currently been telling have anything to do with the Elite being together. So maybe, just maybe, you don't give a fuck about what he's saying right now, because what he's saying right now makes no fucking sense. And it's poorly booked.
So in the moment, you're damn right. And I'll give you this. I am king of stretch my imagination and the limits of my disbelief to the ends of the earth. If there is a morsel of some, a modicum of some sense, and if Nick Jackson was still in the match, I could see it. Cody in the middle, the Jacksons, the Bucks, Kenny, and Hangman, and we got to come together because we got this story we got to handle. Nick ain't even in the match no more. But to Cody's point, and I really didn't hope for this to be a conversation about Cody, more so than their responses to the shows. But, and to your point about Cody, any of his promos don't do anything for me, because number one, he's not speaking to me. He's not speaking to me because I'm not one of the people who believes in him and what he's doing. I appreciate what he's doing. I think he's a genius and a hell of a person to build this shit from scratch like he basically did. But I'm not, I don't need him to be my Jesus. I'm not calling out for him. I don't need to reach, he's not Dusty Rhodes for me. I'm sorry, but he's not. I don't want that. I don't need that. And if I did, what he's doing and who he is wouldn't be it for me anyway. So the things he's saying and how he is completely pandering to his base, which is fine. Not dissing that at all. That's fine. But completely and like just ridiculously pandering to his base and bringing up the stories about him and his dad walking after the match where the wrestlers are and all the stories he brings up. Like, I get it, dog. They love you already. They love you already. It's just too much for me. It's too much. It's just too much. In the same vein, it's why I don't watch fucking political debates. Because it's too much. Give me the facts, dog. You, this guy, match, Sunday. What I need to know? I don't need to know what you wore in the morning and how you woke up and how your dad trained you. I don't care. I don't care. In 1970, when literally all the money that was spent on the show paid the wrestlers, yeah, that shit mattered. Now, it doesn't matter.
Mm. Let's talk about these shows.
I didn't mean to go there, but I'm just tired.
I ain't mad at you. And if the people are mad at you, they should know by now. We don't give a fuck.
Not one bit. And I mean, I am sorry because I'm such a fan of who Cody is as a dude. I love what he stands for. I love how hard he fights for what he believes in. The rest of the shit you can keep.
I mean, I'm okay with it, man. You're talking to the same person who has said repeatedly that Jon Moxley is a mid-carder.
Woo! So anyway, let me apologize.
Yeah, that's all the your champion is a mid-carder.
Don't do it. So.
I said it.
I didn't watch AEW last night. I'm on a Netflix binge right now, so I apologize for that. I didn't watch NXT either, for the record. Raw and SmackDown were
interesting.
Very interesting and entertaining. They had segments and they had some matches, but they also put in literally almost an hour's worth of canned footage from the Royal Rumble on Monday and from the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, they played the entire tag team Elimination Chamber match.
And the entire men's Royal Rumble. Yeah. And with commercials. With commercials. So, but I get it. I do get why. But I want to push to a little bit into the future. It's been announced WrestleMania 36 is not canceled. It has just been transferred to the PC. And also on top of that, it's been announced that it will be a two-night extravaganza hosted by Rob Gronkowski.
Extravaganza.
Give it to me one more time.
Extravaganza.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Hosted by the newest WWE signee, Mr. Rob Gronkowski.
Which I'm calling it right now. I said it to y'all in the group chat earlier. I'm calling it right now. Gronk and Mojo will be tag team champions by SummerSlam.
See, you got it wrong. Because Mojo going to turn on Gronk. And that's going to be the first feud.
I mean, they're going to turn on each other after the tag team title.
Nah, bro. Gronk is a solo act, homie. Gronk is a solo act. And his only tag team partner just flew to Tampa Bay, baby. Yeah. Brady's in Tampa Bay. The world lost its mind. We lost Kobe. Brady's in Tampa Bay. You know what I'm saying? The world has lost its mind. Unplug the world for 30 seconds. Reboot it. Oh. But WrestleMania 36, two nights. Gronk is hosting. And interesting thing, I want you to kind of expound on your thoughts on this. Multiple locations.
I mean, the multiple locations just harkens back to the early days of Mania in three cities. So, like, that's always fun and cool and interesting. And also an excellent way to get around the whole, you know, CDC recommendations for gathering sizes.
I need that meme of the black dude pointed at his head, and that's what Vince is saying. I got you, bitches. I got a way around. So the tentative lineup right now, and I'm almost positive more matches will be added or segments or something. But Saturday is scheduled to be Drew McIntyre versus Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship, Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley for the NXT Women's Championship, Taker versus AJ Styles, and if you saw Monday, we got Biker Taker back or some semblance of it. And Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins. And on Sunday, scheduled, we have Roman Reigns versus Goldberg for the Universal Championship, Shayna Baszler versus Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship, and John Cena versus The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. And no, unfortunately, Bray, the match is not going to be in the Hooters.
Womp, womp, womp.
Should they add any extra matches? Should they go all out and do it 4 hours? Should they throw NXT in? Because NXT doesn't kind of have
takeover
a thing.
Stuff. I was going to say, let the takeover stuff happen still. And
well, what about what?
Like solidness.
What do you think about them doing a mini takeover the Wednesday before WrestleMania?
I mean, you know, that's also an option. I mean, they've got a lot of options at this point. This is uncharted territory. I know a lot of people wanted them to postpone and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, there are so many logistical reasons why they can't do that. Like, so many logistical reasons why they can't do that. So, like, this is the best of the situation that they can come up with. And I think it'll be memorable because of this.
Well, it's going to be memorable regardless because ain't going to be no motherfuckers in the damn arena. It's going to be memorable.
It'll be
regardless. Memorable
because of these things.
Have you heard the rumor that they're going to do another June WrestleMania-esque show at MSG? Had you heard that rumor?
I haven't heard that rumor, but I mean, that's assuming that by June we can, you know, have crowds again. There's no guarantee.
That's a great response because that's the thing we're not thinking about. I think the move is, and shout out to our brother Rob, who came up with this idea. Just just fancy up SummerSlam.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, God, if this shit ain't fixed by August, like, where's Elon Musk? I need to go to Mars real quick. You know what I'm saying? Or the moon, whichever one is better.
France, we're black and brown. They ain't gonna let us leave.
Good point. No, actually, you're wrong.
They're gonna leave our asses here.
You're wrong. They'll let us go first to terraform that bitch, then they'll leave. And we won't be able to. Send them, make sure it's good. Make sure it's good.
In the meantime, they come up with a cure down here.
Yeah, but when it's all said and done and everything good, and we dying because we ain't got no air or water or food, you know, because it's you can't grow food on that in that climate. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, by the way, I wanted to switch back to AEW real quick. To their credit, which is amazing to me how they were able to do this, major things happened on the show, specifically two debuts. Which one do you want to talk about first? You want to talk about the Exalted one or the fifth member of Team Elite?
Well, let's talk about... Well, let's mention the Exalted one first because it's not of the two. It's not the one people thought. So Luke Harper is the Exalted one.
Call him by his name. Don't call him by that slave name.
Luke Harper is the Exalted one. Brody Lee is the Exalted one. And the reason I keep saying Luke Harper is because essentially he's still fucking Luke Harper.
Yeah.
No accent.
Yeah.
Like, I would call him Brody Lee if there was literally anything about this character that wasn't Luke Harper.
And by the way, y'all, for the record, the two characters are very similar, but the difference is Brody Lee was a trucker. Basically, Brody Lee was a trucker. And Luke Harper was a swamp dude from a dude from the swamps of Florida who got joined in a cult. That's the difference between the two characters. If you go strictly down to the motivations of the character. I know, wrestling nerd, my bad. Yeah, bro. So, question for you. So, if Luke Harper, aka Brody Lee, is the head of a cult and he just left a cult. Does that mean that said cult is a part of said other cult?
I mean, where do you think Brody got his cult-like powers from?
Right? So Sister Abigail left Bray.
I mean, notice he was still playing with the light bulb. He's still playing with the light bulb.
So Sister Abigail basically... So this is hilarious. So Matt Hardy, who, by the way, is the other guy who debuted... cast out Sister Abigail from Bray, who then basically prays at the altar of Sister Abigail, but is in bed, with another demon, the Fiend. But Sister Abigail's demon just went to Brody Lee.
I mean, sure, cool. Why not?
If
Kane can be Paul Bearer's son who survived the burning of the funeral home after the Undertaker lit it on fire, then sure.
So hold on. The Kane story is hilarious. So he survived being burned in the funeral home, which turned out he really wasn't burned in the first place. It was mental scars. But then he was hidden in a basement for years. But when he was in high school, he had a girlfriend. Like, the story is so messed up. And then couldn't talk. But then had to talk with a voice box.
But hold up. We're forgetting, like, we moved on from the growth, from the growing up story way too quickly. We're forgetting the pallbearer's son.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The Undertaker was the one who burned down the funeral home.
Yeah, those are important parts.
Yeah, because the Undertaker is Big Brother, remember? And that's why he was kept in the basement to hide from Big Brother, who tried to kill him before.
Except for those 4 years, he went to high school and had a girlfriend.
High school where he had a girlfriend that Triple H had sex with the corpse of.
Boy.
Oh, and you're forgetting when Vince had him committed. He forgot about the part where the corporation had him committed, and then he broke out of the asylum.
But y'all want the Attitude Era back. Y'all want that back.
Because X-Pac taught him how to talk. And Tori taught him how to love.
Yo.
And then X-Pac and Tori left him.
Yo, tell the people what Kane's first two words he ever said were.
Fuck it.
Attitude Era, though. Attitude Era, right?
Oh, but Tori taught him how to love, and then Tori left him for X-Pac.
Cold world, bro. Cold world, no Snuggie. Oh, boy.
Oh.
Hey, Glenn Jacobs is a very handsomely compensated man. Let's put it like that.
The mayor of Tennessee.
Yeah, Matt Hardy back too, y'all. And Matt Hardy apparently, was it Zenith? That was the spirit that inhabited him has been cast out, and now he's imbibed. I'm gonna look up what the word is. Is it imbibed or imbed? But imbibed, I think, is the word. Imbibed, yeah, whatever. You know what I'm saying? With the new spirit, Damascus, which is why his hair, the streak in his hair, isn't white anymore. It's red. Yet, same clothes.
Oh, you're thinking of imbued. Imbued.
Come on, multiple degree having person. Yes. But Matt got the same clothes on. Matt got the same mannerisms. Matt got this. The t-shirts look exactly the same. What's different? At least Brody out here got new clothes. Brody took a shower. Brody bought a new set of clothes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you can't be a cult leader and look like an underling.
I'm saying, right? So he stepped his game up. He shopped at Coats R Us and went on and stepped his game up. Matt out here doing the same thing. What's the difference? Even the damn, what's the thing, the drone, what's it called?
Oh, Vanguard 1?
That shit there too. Like, what's different?
He can feud with the Bucks of Youth? I don't know.
He teaming with him because he took Nick Jackson's place in the Blood and Guts match. Because that makes sense even though Dustin is right there.
So, like, this is all just... So, like, what? This is all just a placeholder until Jeff's deal expires and Brother Nero can come back?
So, let's keep it a buck. Can we keep it a buck?
Let's keep it a buck.
Everything Jeff has said, and this could be him playing good, making good, because he's fucked up a lot of shit. But everything he said makes everybody think he's retiring with WWE. And, I mean, he's gone out of his way to say how much he appreciates
what he's done. He can barely walk.
I think he wants to go another 3 or so years. But, like, he's... Yeah, he can go 3. If he's on a reduced schedule, he can go 3. Yeah.
You better not do house shows no more.
Terry Funk wrestling to this day, bro. Like, change the look on your face. Terry Funk's still wrestling. He, like, 105. Come on,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, we all know Terry dumb and he gonna die. We love him. We love him. I love Terry. Like, I love Terry. But Terry Dunn, he gonna die. I mean, you right. Jeff have a lot of them tendencies.
If one day we have to put the recording of the videos out. We have to one day. And we don't wish anybody to die. No. Just keep your mouth closed. Don't say nothing. Yeah. So, more power to them. I don't know when Blood and Guts is going to happen because it's supposed to be at Prudential Center.
Such a stupid fucking name. Of all the names you could come up with for a match. Like, for real, though. For real, though.
Every time you diss Aleister Black, I'm going to say Blood and Guts and just piss you off.
I mean, you know, Blood and Guts doesn't change the fact that Aleister Black can't cut an interesting promo.
We're going to get a different form of how we can record this podcast so I can mute your bitch ass. There were two small things I wanted to mention. One of them we talked about in WrestleCon. But there's one other thing I want to talk about. Actually, two things. We can talk about the Punk thing real quick. So Punk is playing the game again. Let me tell you something.
Of course he is.
Let me tell you something. Philip Jack Brooks is, I think he is an extremely shrewd businessman that we don't give enough credit for. Because when he ain't in the conversation, he finds a way to put his ass in the conversation. I gotta give him that.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. He stays finding ways to be relevant.
He was on a podcast recently and they asked him, would he ever wrestle again? And he said, which is the honest to God truth, nobody's giving me kind of the right combination of the story, money, things. Basically, I haven't got the right situation yet. They asked him, what would the perfect situation be? He said, well, you know what? If the situation was right, if they called me about Daniel Bryan, I would listen to that. John Cena, I would listen to that. Rey Mysterio, I would listen to that. Then he went on to go say the one that surprised me and you when I told you, Will Ospreay.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I just don't like Will Ospreay. Like, I know other people, like, have mad respect for dude and think he's super talented and blah, blah, blah. And I get all that. And I see all that. I just don't like him. I think he's a fucking dick. And so I don't like his ass.
So I agree with everything you said. However, there is the one thing I disagree with you on. It surprised me because not only are their styles way different, but and this is no diss to Punk, even though I don't give a fuck if he's diss or not. Ospreay will run circles around Punk. Even at Punk's best. Even at Punk's best, he'll run circles around Ospreay. Guys like Ospreay, guys like Ricochet, guys like Jack Evans, guys like Amazing Red, guys like Ray Phoenix. Like, these guys are on a different level in terms of their acumen in the rings from a speed standpoint and from a skill standpoint. Like, Punk, the beauty of CM Punk as a wrestler was that he literally was a dude who got off his couch and loved wrestling enough to deal with it. He ain't play football. He wasn't athletically gifted. He cared about wrestling, was a fan, and could talk. That's the same beauty that Kevin Owens has. That's the beauty that Punk has. These guys, Will Ospreay could go to the Olympics right now if he wanted to. And that ain't nothing, that's just a fact.
Fuck Will Ospreay.
All right, good talk. So you want to talk about the last thing real quick, or what you want to do? Because that's a bit of a controversial topic.
Which thing was the last thing?
Harry Potter.
Oh.
The mood just. You ever been in an arena when the Undertaker comes out and everybody's laughing and joking, and then you hear the dong and everybody shuts the fuck up?
Yeah.
That's what just happened just now.
I mean, do we really want to go there? Do we want that to be our outro topic?
Ain't that the type of show we are? We talk about it all. We don't have to. And if you want, I can find something else to kind of bookend with the happier ending.
No. Fine. Go ahead. Let's finish with that.
I am, but this is a conversation that we've never had on air, and I think it's due. I think it's time. It's due. There is a television show called The Dark Side of the Ring. If you don't know about that, I would implore you to actually watch a bunch of it. It's on Vice. And a lot of Vice's shows are really dope. They're really introspective and controversial. They make you think. They're out of the box. Desus and Mero started on Vice. But this particular show is a wrestling documentary show. It's about the more underbelly type controversial taboo subjects of wrestling and controversial taboo moments or situations. So, like, they really went in depth on the Bruiser Brody thing and a lot of other really controversial things that don't really get talked about or nobody knows the real answers to, stuff like that. It's a new season starting. And, like, in this season, they have lots of controversial situations. Like, they got a whole episode on New Jack. If you know New Jack, his history, and the mass transit incident, the controversy of that. They go into all that, right? All this stuff. That they go into the death of the Von Erichs. Like, they go into this really deep stuff. Well, you know, when shows like this come back for a new season, the first episode is always the one that grabs the headlines. Well, they grabbed the fucking headlines. The first episode is about Chris Benoit.
Shameful.
The death of Chris Benoit, the death of Nancy Benoit, the death of Daniel Benoit, and the story about it, around it, and behind it. And Chris Jericho is the narrator. Chavo Guerrero has been interviewed. And not only were they close, but if you remember, the only two people that he hit up that day were Chavo Guerrero and I believe Hardcore Holly, the day when it all happened, the only two people he called. Hardcore Holly or Real Regal, one of those two were the other guy. They interviewed Vicky. They interviewed his son, David, right? David. Yeah, man, it's so... They interviewed Nancy Benoit's sister, Sandra Tuffoloni. But actually, Jericho's narrating all the episodes of season two, so I don't want to make it seem like he just chose to do this one. He's the narrator for the whole season. So okay. Let me fix that. Yeah.
Reverse shameful.
Yeah. But, so, first and foremost, how do you feel about them doing a documentary on Chris Benoit? Secondly, if you've been watching the WWE Network recently, which you can subscribe now for only $9.99, free for first month subscribers. I'm trying to get that WWE money. They recently did the critically acclaimed and wonderful Ruthless Aggression story, the first five episodes. Benoit was a huge part of Ruthless Aggression, and they showed some of his, they showed like some shots of him in it, but they never talked about it. They talked around him. So one, what do you think about them doing the documentary? And two, I'm not saying it's time we should ever laud him or give him acclaim or credit for his contributions. But do you think it's time to put him back at least in the conversation? Yeah, I can get deep with this.
Man, I used to love Chris Benoit. When I was growing up, like, I really did. I used to love Chris Benoit. I thought the Crippler Crossface was so fucking cool. And, like, something about him was just so badass. And, like, when that shit happened, you know, I was only a teenager at the time. So, like, I knew it was a big deal, but I didn't understand mental illness the way that I understand mental illness as an adult. And, you know, that makes that whole situation so much more tragic. But, like, it's hard in terms of, I don't believe in erasure. You know, so, for example, O.J. Simpson's still a Hall of Fame running back. He's still the first running back to ever rush for 2,000 yards in a season back when they only played 14 games. So, like, that shit's fucking badass. O.J. Simpson's also a fucking murderer. Like, you know, those two things aren't mutually exclusive. Chris Benoit was one of the greatest professional wrestlers of his era and one of the best pure professional wrestlers in terms of in-ring technical skill to ever do it. Chris Benoit also had a disturbing mental illness and committed a double murder suicide because he was a great wrestler. And I think that's what makes it harder in terms of, like, why was he erased? And, you know, a big part of why he was erased is because, you know, they were already neck deep in concussion issues as a company anyway. And his concussion issues caused a disgusting and horrific act. And so, like, that's why they erase him and tiptoe around him. As far as fans inserting him back into the conversation, I think that their erasure of him makes it harder to do that with younger fans. Because if they didn't grow up watching him, they don't know who Chris Benoit really is. And as far as, is it time for them to know? I don't know if I'm the person to make that call.
Is there a way, and we can talk about this, and these guys can't even, well, you know, fuck it. You can kind of, from a compartmentalization situation or point of view, you can kind of think about it in the present sense with guys like R. Kelly, or guys like, right? Or guys like, you said OJ, for example. People who have Bill Cosby, right? To a lesser extent, because the regular person doesn't know his contributions to film, Harvey Weinstein. They did amazing things in their industry. Things that will be remembered for the rest of human history. But they were...
are also monsters.
Monster human beings that have ruined dozens, if not in some cases, hundreds of lives, right? But yet, R. Kelly's on every radio station. Bill Cosby shows on every TV station. The Weinstein Company is still a major company in Hollywood today, right? But my question to you after what you said, which was wonderful, extremely eloquent, is there a way to broadcast him as a part of a generation that was so important to wrestling and the company without showcasing him? Is that possible?
I don't know that it is possible. And I'll give you an example of somebody else who is really important to the business, but who they'll show, but they don't showcase, and they tiptoe around. Scott Hall. Like, they acknowledge that Scott Hall exists. They're not afraid of mentioning his name in the way that they do Benoit. And Hall didn't do anything remotely close to the level of that. Yep. But, like, how often do they talk about Scott Hall or Razor Ramon?
I mean, they only even talk about it when it's convenient, like ladder matches or NWO. But yeah,
and not even as much as they only mention it.
Yeah, not as much as what he's contributed should warrant.
Well, and not as much as Kevin Nash by comparison, or Hogan by comparison, who he was in the NWO with, or his fellow members of the Click.
You could also say part of that is because he never won a world championship, but I think you're right, because maybe why he didn't win a world championship was because he wasn't trustworthy.
Oh, that's not a maybe. I think that's definitely, like, WCW handed the world title out like fucking candy.
Fair enough.
The only reason Scott Hall never touched that shit is because they couldn't trust him to hold the bag.
Yeah, and it's real. That's real. I feel you on that comparison. It's a lot lesser, but yes, they will. A better example is, and God bless him, this isn't their fault or his fault, it's his widow's fault, but Owen Hart is never talked about. And Owen Hart was an amazing human. WWE, it was an accident. Are they liable? Yes. Are they complicit? Yes, but they didn't do it on purpose. But Martha Hart just can't. And to her, so it's a right and prerogative to not, you know, to not want to work with WWE or to not forget or move on from that. That's her prerogative. I cannot tell another person how to grieve.
And to their credit, they're consistent in this regard too. They distanced the fuck out of themselves from Jimmy Snuka. They dropped that motherfucker real fast.
Oh, yeah. And his daughter works for the company.
Yeah.
His daughter's the longest tenured. I think her and Natty are the longest tenured full-time.
But notice they dropped Snuka from her name so fast. Tamina. So fast. Right. She became just Tamina overnight. Like, oh, nope. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I love the way the network is, because the network does not, every show that has Benoit in it, which is damn near 75% of the network.
Every show. I was going to say every show between 99 and...
go further. 95, 94.
Well, no, I'm talking for just the WWE shows. Oh, 99 sure, yeah. To yeah. whatever. But, like, in terms of on the network itself, any show from WCW from... or ECW from the mid-90s upward.
Yeah, absolutely. So before every one of those shows, they have a disclaimer saying that their wrestlers are characters and that they are not responsible for the personal lives or what they did. Basically, a disclaimer saying, look, we're going to show this guy. If you don't want to show it, you can go to, you know, you want to show matches to him, you can go to the settings, portal controls. But because he's part of our history, we can't hide him. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that because you have to, I believe in acknowledgement and I believe in education. So acknowledge the situation and educate, right? So if my kids are with me and they see, like, before every UFC fight we watch, before wrestling, I always tell them, I want you guys to understand that these are these guys' lives and their careers. What they're doing is very dangerous. They are as safe as they can be because they're trained to do this. If I ever catch you doing it, we're going to have a problem because you haven't been trained to do this, and I don't want you to hurt somebody or get hurt yourself. Acknowledgement and education. So if we can acknowledge Benoit and educate people on who he was, then maybe we could do it. But how do you do that in mass?
That is the million-dollar question, and it's a question I don't feel like I can answer.
I don't either, brother. No. But I think it's interesting to talk about it, especially with this coming out and Ruthless Aggression being such a hit, because they talked ad nauseum about Eddie and about how Eddie's rise to the world title was, like, the thing that brought SmackDown up, well, directly across the pond or across the horn or whatever you want to call it, Benoit was making Hunter tap out in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, they both won the title the same night.
It's a shame because that is one of the five greatest moments in terms of, like, fan.
So, like, right in the feels.
I see it to this day. When I saw it before he died, before he did what he did, and I saw it, I cried because it was such a happy moment for me. I see it now and I cry because it's such a painful moment for me.
Yeah.
Damn, this is a downer. You want to talk about something fun before we get off, or you just want to leave them like this?
Nah, let's leave them with their feelings. Let's leave them with their feelings. Sometimes you got to be left with your feelings.
It's Ray Cash, R-E-Y-S, and Mysterio, C-A-S-H-S, and dollar signs. Carl's at Outsider Curving.
I'm at Dr. S'mores.
We're part of the Chair Shot Radio Network, where you
always use your head.
And we are a bigger part of E-Wrestling News Network. I will find a better way to say that. Something catchy or fun and whatnot. And chairshot.com at E-Wrestling News. Holla at us, support, and do your thing.
And remember, y'all, we here at the Outsider's Edge are just some increasingly older gentlemen doing whatever we can to make it in this world and avoid this coronavirus. So sometimes we're going to say some things that are going to upset you, like admitting that Jon Moxley is a mid-carder. And other times,
blood and guts.
It's a terrible fucking name. But whenever that happens, y'all, you got to remember, we're just out here chasing our dreams, and you got to respect that. But if you don't...
Wait. Can we chase our dreams in the quarantine?
Continue. Ooh, that's a good question. Continue. But even if we couldn't, well, we just don't give up.
Fuck them.
Social distance, y'all, and we'll catch you next time.